I hear the sound of your voice. All at once it's a gentle and thundering noise. Oh God, all that you are is so overwhelming.
Know the riches of God's inheritance and the power that is available to us as his believers. Story is told of the Prince of Grenada. The Prince of Grenada was the heir to the Spanish crown. And he was arrested, tried, and sentenced. And he was sentenced to live in solitary confinement in a prison in Madrid that was known as the Place of the Skull. It was called the Place of the Skull because once you went into that prison, you never came out. He was given one book to read during his time in that prison. It was the Bible. I want you to imagine how many times he may have read that Bible, because he lived there for 33 years before he passed away. 33 years with the Bible. They found after his death notes scratched on the wall, on the stone walls in his cell, notes that he had scratched with a nail that he had found. They found these notes. Here are some of them. One of the notes said, Psalm 118, verse 8, is the middle verse in the Bible. I read that and I got to thinking, well, what? I wonder what the middle verse in the Bible says. I wonder if it's really, really central to the whole message of the word. So I looked it up, and it says, it's better to take refuge in the Lord than to trust in humans. That sounds pretty central to me, doesn't it? Ezra 7:21. This was another of his notes. He said, Ezra 7:21 contains all the letters of the alphabet except the letter J. I'd look that one up too, and it does. They're all there. He talked about Esther. He wrote about Esther, chapter 8, verse 9, being the longest verse in the Bible. And he said that there was no other verse or name in the Bible, no other word or name in the Bible that contained more than six syllables. And as I read some of that, I began thinking about that. 33 years in solitary confinement with perhaps the greatest book that has ever been written, with the key to eternal life, and all he could come up with was trivia. There's no indication whatsoever that during those 33 years he ever made a commitment to the Lord of the Bible. Paul was really concerned, as he wrote in the scriptures that we read this morning. He was really concerned that the Ephesians and that you and I would not settle for knowing facts about God. He was really anxious that our exposure to and that our study of God's word would lead us to an ever-deepening knowledge and experience with God, that we would know him personally. And that begins the same for each one of us. Each one of us starts that same way. Whatever our background, whatever our exposure, whatever our experience is, we all come to him the same way, through conversion. And until we come to that point, even though we may have been in church all of our lives, we still only knew about God. We didn't know him. What a tragedy that would be. And once we're saved, then we begin to experience a relationship with God. We begin to know him personally. There's no shortcuts. There's no other way. I like a lot of different kinds of music. Several years ago, a group out of Australia named Little River Band did a song called There's So Many Roads Up the Mountain, meaning they all end the same way. Well, it was a nice song, but it was a lie. There aren't a whole lot of roads up the mountain. There's just one. There's just one. In John 17:3, it said, this is eternal life, that we would know the only true God John 14, 6 says, For he is the way, and he is the truth, and he is the example of life as it was meant to be lived. What a wonderful thing. Paul also prays that we might know the hope to which we have been called. You see, we're not called to just get by. I hope that that doesn't come as a shock to you. We were called to not just get by. We were called to experience our relationship with him that is good measure, pressed down, and running over. We were called to experience all of him that we could possibly have. He didn't call us to mediocrity. He didn't call us to just be average. I may have mentioned before that I heard once that average was defined as the best of the worst and the worst of the best. And when I heard that, I decided I never really wanted to be average. I didn't want to be the best of the worst. I didn't want to be the worst of the best. I want to be all that he's called me to be. I thought you probably do too. First Peter says we were called out of darkness into light. Galatians says we were called by his grace. Timothy says we were given a holy calling. And Ephesians says we were called to hope. That's what we were called to do, to hope, to believe that it just keeps getting better. I get a lot of calls weekly. Most of my calls are for health insurance for me. I hope they all go away. Those calls all go away on the 7th of December when the end of that Medicare sign-up period is over. I get a lot of calls, mostly robocalls about warranty coverage for my vehicle. Oh, you're smiling. You get the same things. Well, I want to tell you, I used to just hang up as soon as I realized it was a robocall. And now they've gotten to the point where they actually begin talking to you right away, even though it's a robo-talk. But after, I decided that I would change my tactics. And so now when I get a call about a warranty for my vehicle, I tell them, yes, I really do want your warranty coverage for my vehicle. Let me tell you about it. It's a 1995 Chevy truck. It's got over 200,000 miles on it, and it has a salvage title. Now they hang up. I'm really glad that that Christ's call on my life guarantees me something, and he's not going to hang up on me. You know, he's going to give me an unending hope for both myself and for those that I have the privilege of sharing him with in my life. It's not based upon some kind of an approved vaccine or about who gets elected or upon my education or upon what job that I have or what my economic or social standing is. He just guarantees me that if I accept him, he will give me that eternal hope that is found in him. And it's based upon who he is and who you and I are in him. That's what it's based on. It's based on knowing him and having his hope. And then he goes on and he talks about it's based on his riches. We read the scripture. But in Ephesians, the first chapter and the third verse, it talks about he wants to bless us richly. He says, praise be to God who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing. Every spiritual blessing. Can you imagine a spiritual blessing that he would not allow you to have? That he would not give you generously out of his love? There isn't any. He's called to bless us with every spiritual blessing. And that's a wonderful thing. That's a part of the riches in Christ. But the scripture that I read this morning from that first chapter in the 18th verse where it talks about the riches of his glorious inheritance, it's different. It's really, really different from the riches that he gives us because of the next four words. He says, the riches of his glorious inheritance in his holy people. Does that get a hold of you at all? It sure does me. Because what it really says is that his riches are found in us. We are his riches. When he looks at us, he points to the Father and says, "See him? That's my riches." He points to, he says, "See her? She's my riches. She's an example of what my life is doing in the world today." Wow, that's exciting for me. I don't know whether it is for you or not, but it sure is for me. It's a blessing. It speaks to the riches of his inheritance. And it's amazing when we understand that we are the example of what his blessing is all about. He looks upon us as a part of his wealth. The American newspaper publisher, William Randolph Hearst, spent a fortune on works of art. He loved works of art. And one day, as he was thumbing through a magazine, he saw some pictures that really piqued his interest. He said, "Wow, I really like those. I've got to have those." So he called some of his staff in, and he said, "I want you to locate these pictures and make arrangements to purchase them. Spare no expense. Do whatever you need to do. I want you to find those, and I want you to purchase those for me." And so they went out. Months passed. And finally, they came back in, and they reported back. They had located the pictures. Pictures were in one of his own warehouses. He'd already bought them years before. He had all of this wealth and had all of these things that he'd accumulated, and they meant nothing to him. He just wanted more of them. They were there. Nobody else would ever see them because they were secluded off in his warehouse somewhere. I'm really glad that my father never loses track of his treasure. It's us. We're it. And he puts us on full display for the world to watch. Sometimes that gets scary for us because we're afraid we may not quite measure up. And, oh, Lord, you know. Ever have one of those days where you thought, "Oh, man, I'm sure glad nobody is seeing me today. I'm having a hard time." I have. But you and I are his riches. And finally, Paul reminds us that as his treasured children, we need to know the incomparably great power that's available to us who believe. It's so great that one word wouldn't do it. And so, as we read the scripture, he used four different Greek words to try to communicate how great that power was. One of the words that he used was dunamis, which means power, as in dynamite or dynamo. Dunamis. Another word he used was energia, a working power, as in energy that is being exercised in the process of something being accomplished. Energia. Kratos means mighty, huge, big power. Ixus, power by God. By nature, we're weak. We are. I mean, but we don't have to be. We don't have to live powerless lives. We don't have to live lives that are defeated. We don't have to. Because he said that apart from me, you can do nothing, but with me. Paul echoed it when he said, you know, "For I can do all things through Christ who gives me the strength," the power. It's available to us. The same power, the scripture says, that raised Christ from the dead is active in your life and in my life if we are his children. That same power that enabled him to go back to heaven is active in your life and in my life if we are his children. And I said it's available to us today, but that's really not right. It's really not just the fact that he's available to us today. I guess I should better say it's expected of us today. That power that he talks about should be the norm for us as followers of Jesus Christ. It should be the norm. We shouldn't have just, you know, maybe one day every 3 months, you know, went, wow, I'm really feeling powerful today. No. No, that should be, we wake up in the morning and say, good morning, Lord, what a great day to walk in your power. That's what he has for us. As long as we are under the obedient lordship, headship of Jesus Christ, he expects us to live victoriously because he is there living that through us. And less than that is Satan trying to get back what he's already lost. He's lost it, folks. It's not, we're not his anymore. We're not his anymore. So as we enter the Advent season, we do so with the confidence that we know the Christ of Christmas. We don't just know about him. We know him. I know him. He's my father. Christ is my brother. Holy Spirit is my companion. We know him. We know him. And we know that because we know him, we have a hope that, as the scripture said, hope that brings joy, that reigns in our lives. We have joy because we know that we are treasured by him. We are his wealth. And because of that, we can walk in victory. Power. It's yours. It's mine. And so the challenge for us is to walk in it and to enjoy it and to share the hope of this season. Join me as we pray. Father, the hope of the season is found in you. If we are to be found in you, then that hope is found in us. So I pray, Lord, that as we leave here today, as we go into a fellowship, as we go into the week ahead of us, as we move on into this season, that somehow, Lord, we would be able to know the hope that brings joy because we are your children. We ask it in your name. Amen. Amen. Bless each other today. Bless each other today. Share the joy with each other today. Share the hope. Share the hope. You are dismissed. Have a wonderful day. Have a great time of fellowship.